My dear beloved brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is really a great honor and privilege for me to be here, to be the part of this worship service. And I give thanks and praise to the Lord, the King of the Kings, because of Him, we all are gathered together this morning. And then I'm thankful for the pastor, Benjamin, who has opened his heart and then the door of the church for me to come here and to share the word of God. And then I'm thankful for my beloved brother Suleiman, because of him, the Lord has opened door for me. It is second time for me to be here in USA. And praise the Lord, He is blessing and using me in a mighty way for His glory and for His honor. This morning, I would like to share with you a verse. It is from 2 Kings from the Old Testament, chapter 5 and verse 15. It is written here, 2 Kings 5:15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." Amen. What I am going to share with you this morning is only a small part of this verse. "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." As brother has introduced this least servant to you, whatever I am because of him. I'm nothing without him. And whatever has been said about me, I give all the glory and honor to the Lord of the Lords and the King of the Kings. And really, it is his blessing that he brought me here to be a blessing for you, and this fellowship could become a blessing for me. Before I go ahead, I would like to make a confession. Originally, I am from Pakistan. My language is Urdu, but actually, English is my fourth or fifth language. In these days, I am in Sweden. And when I came in Sweden, I started to learn Swedish language. And most of the people in Sweden, they were saying to me that when you will start learning Swedish language, the file of your English language will go away, because a new language is going to be installed. But what I was going to say is this: I am not perfect. My knowledge is not perfect. My language is not perfect. But he is the perfect one who is going to speak to me and to you. So do not concentrate on my words or my linguistic errors. But let's see what the Lord our God is going to say to you and to me. Amen. And I believe that we are not here by chance, but we are here according to his divine plan. The verse that I have read before you is from a huge story about a man named Naaman. And he is very famous man because we know him as Naaman the leper. And the other great personality with him was Elisha, the prophet of Old Testament. He was the student of a great prophet named Elijah. However, Naaman was a great soldier, and he was the general of Syrian army. He was a great man, and even the king Ben-Hadad was proud of him. The Lord has given a lot of victories because of this great soldier, Naaman, to the king of Syria. And because of this, now the king of Syria was really very happy, and he was really proud of this great soldier named Naaman. He was a very honorable person before the king. The Lord has given a lot of victories to the king of Syria because of him. And he was a great soldier and general. But there was a problem in the life of Naaman. And the problem was this, that he had leprosy. In the word of God, it is not written that in what part of his body was leprosy. It is not written over there. And I don't need to know that in what part of body he had leprosy. But it is written that he was leper, and that's enough for me to know. Because he was a leper person, he had leprosy. And because of this, he knew that our culture is a very different culture. If the people who are around me, if they will know that what is the problem, then they will cast me out from my culture and from my family. I will be just like animals, those who are running out in the streets. It will be a miserable life. So I don't know what to do, because he must have seen a lot of people who had leprosy, but they had no life and no future. And he thought, I don't know, what should I do in this kind of situation? Might be he has spent hundreds and thousands of dollars for cure of his leprosy, but nothing was happening in his life. He was depressed, hopeless, and there was no future at front of him. He was just only thinking, I'm a soldier, king is proud of me, but when I look to my own self, I am nothing because I am a person who has this great sickness of leprosy. I do not know what to do now. He was really very in miserable life and in a painful life. Now what I see here is this, that Mrs. Naaman was also so much concerned because of her husband Naaman that he had a leprosy. She was really concerned. But what I see is here, maybe he has tried by his best for the cure of this leprosy, but nothing was happening. I want to tell you something. There was a man, even I should say, he was a boy in my motherland, Pakistan. He was born in a Muslim family. He never knew who is Jesus Christ. He was a religious person. He learned his holy book by heart. He was A man of prayer 5 times in a day. A brother of 9 brothers and sisters. And the least one. He was a religious person. Even he was introducing others about his religion. He had a great hatred against people of cross, people of Christ Jesus, the followers of Jesus Christ. He was full of hatred against the followers of Jesus Christ. But he says that his life was totally miserable. He was in a place where he was born. About 12 kilometers surrounding area, there was not even one Christian. Never ever any evangelist visited over there to share good news with those people of his own area. But then he says that something happened in his life. His family members were saying that these Christian people are the one who are drunkards, idolaters, and idolaters and infidels. They will go to hell because they say that Isa, you know who is Isa? Yeah. Isa is son of God. And that's why they are infidel and they will go to hell. And he says, I was born in this kind of situation. But then the Lord has opened a door for him to go and work among those Christian people to whom he was hating in his heart. And he went over there and he started work as a carpenter among those Christian people. He says his religious people were saying that all of these Christian people are no good. So be careful that how you are connecting with these people. When he started work over there, he says about 6 months were passed when he was working among these Christian people. He was having a little hatred in his head against these Christian people. But then he says that I worked as a carpenter in that institution. I haven't seen any, even empty can of beer or whiskey or lal pari around there. And I have worked in their girja church as a carpenter. I haven't seen any idol in their worship places. So I say that they are idol worshiper people. He says, I was young. And there were young daughters who were studying that institution. But he haven't found anything filthy that he should say that they are immoral person. They are not good people. He says the life of those Christian people was a salt of the earth and light of the world, as Jesus says in Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. He says those Christian people among whom I was working, they were role model for me. And because they were role model, that attracted me to know to whom they worship and to whom they follow. My dears, you and I are not here in USA or in Europe by chance. We are according to his divine plan and according to his will. Not by our own will. We are not here in Europe or America to earn money and to fill our belly. That is in one way, but actually this is not the main part of us. the main role for bringing us here is this, that you know, in India and Pakistan, American and European missionaries went years back and they kindled the light of the gospel in India and Pakistan. And now we can see some churches over there. But you know, when I was in Pakistan, when I looked to the Europe, even when I came into Europe, I have seen that now actually no more missionaries are needed for India and Pakistan. Now these people are like Church of Laodicea. They are spiritually blind and physically, spiritually naked. Now they need our help. In 2014, a flood of refugees came from Syria, from Iran, from Afghanistan, from Iraq, all over Europe. And at the same time, the Lord brought me here in Europe as well. And you know who was the boy who was working in that institution? This old man is the one who was boy at that time. And I was the one who born in a non-Christian family. I was the one who was filled of hatred against Christian people. But that is not all. There is something else here. When this Naaman was full of leprosy, his wife was tense. He didn't know that what to do. But you know, from Israel, they captive some slaves, and there was a slave girl among those captive people. They brought these captive people here, and this slave girl was there also. I don't know that how old she was, and I don't care how old she was, but one thing is this, she was alone there in the house of Naaman. Maybe she was cleaning the dishes. And one day, I assume, maybe Mr. Naaman was changing his shirt to go for the job. And she has seen that maybe he had some kind of wounds and he's trying to hide from others. And she was a courageous girl because she was full of zeal because of the name of God of Israel. And she wanted to know that what happened to this man, Naaman. She told to Mrs. Naaman that I want to tell you something. If my master, Mr. Naaman, would have been in Israel, he must have been received healing. If my master be in Israel before so and so prophet, I believe that he must be healed and he will receive healing. She was a small girl from Israel. She knew the Yahweh God of Old Testament. She knew that how strong God of Israel is. She must have heard from her parents that how Israelites came out from Egypt to the promised land. They were in the journey. And she knew that how great our God is. How he separated the Red Sea and the Jordan River. And how he provided the manna for our ancestors. She knew all about it. And she also knew that our God is the one who has given authority to his people. And Israel, there is a prophet named Elisha. And if Mr. Naaman go over there, and because of God's given authority, when Mr. Elisha, prophet Elisha, will lay his hand over him, he will receive healing. He will receive healing. Think about her situation. She was in a miserable and terrible situation. She laid her life on her palm. She was going to be die maybe after a few minutes or a few seconds. He laid his life, put her life into risk. And she said, doesn't matter whatever will happen. Today I must have to tell to Mrs. Naaman that my God, the God of Israel, is powerful. And why don't my master go over there and he will receive healing. And finally, this girl, brave girl, I salute her in my spirit. She has given testimony. She was a witness of God of Israel. And she told others that who is God of Israel? Wherever you and I are working, the question mark is this. Are we the one who witness others that who is our Lord Jesus Christ? Or there is an unseen red tape on our lips? That's what we need to know, that where we are standing today. Every believer in Christ Jesus is not a spectator, is not a sitter only on the pews to warm them up. Every believer is witness of the work that Holy Spirit has done in his or her life. We are witness of Jesus Christ in Acts 1:8. Jesus Christ is saying to his followers, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will receive power. And then you shall be my, what? Witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but all over Judea. And even to those you do not love, Samaritan people. And then you will be my witnesses till end of the world. That's what we find over there. There was not any pastor, there was not any reverend, there was not any bishop. All were just followers of Lord Jesus Christ. We all are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given us commission to go and tell to others. Now, this girl has given a witness, a testimony about God of Israel, that how great he is. When I was in a situation where I felt that these Christian people will go to hell because I belong to a true religion, but I didn't know, but God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was going to do a supernatural work in my life to change my destiny. After a few months, my mother became sick. In her lungs was water. She was getting down and down and down. She was admitted in a central hospital in capital of Pakistan. And one day, doctors called a meeting of my 8 other brothers and sisters and my father. And the doctor said, though it is a bitter pill, but I would like to say something to you. It's better to take this mom back to home and to serve her, because she is just like a guest in this world. She will live maybe only for 3 or 4 or 5 days, but no more than that. Better to take her home. Find yourself in this type of situation where I was. We were really very discouraged, disheartened, hopeless, depressed. Finally, we have taken our mom back to home. She was on the bed all the time. Her eyes were closed. And she was in pain. And she was doing, all the time she was in pain. But 15 days passed, nothing was happening. Finally, I thought, well, I should go for my job. Because for 15 days, I was absent from job. When I went after 15 days, there was a Christian lady. She was follower of Lord Jesus Christ. She was born again believer. She was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. She was witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she asked me something. Hey, how is your mother? I said, she's getting down and down and down day by day. And she said to me, have a seat here. And then she said, I want to tell you something. You guys mean you who are not Christian, she was telling me. Because I was Muslim. In that religion I was born. And she said, I know that what you guys say about us. I know you guys read a book that is your holy book. And in that book it is written, the son of Mary, Jesus Christ is the one who healed the lepers, cleaned the lepers, and he healed the sick people. She told me, and then she said something else that was more strange for me. She said, we have also a book. And in this book, it is written that he came down from heaven unto this earth, died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of all human beings, for all the sinners of the world, even for you. He was buried, but he was no more in the grave like other religious people and the founders of religion. After 3 days, what happened to him? He rose again from the dead. He is no more in the grave. His grave is empty. And she said to me that when he was in this earth, he was performing miracles when physically he was on this earth. She said, today, he is not physically, but spiritually he is in this world and he is alive and still he performs miracles. And these miracles are proof that Jesus is alive. Yes. These miracles are proof that Jesus is alive. If you have this book, it's okay. If you do not have, here it is. Take it at your home. Read it from anywhere. And then you pray as you guys pray. But yeah, when you will be praying, insert a sentence in your prayer. Say, O Allah, in the name of Isa al-Masih, come and touch my sick mother right now. Heal her right now instantly. In the name of Jesus Christ, you pray like that. Is it possible for you? Well, I said, well, it is very hard to take this book at my home. they will kill me. But doesn't matter. It is the matter of the healing of my mother. So I am ready to take this risk. I went at home. And when I was leaving that place, she said to me, "Would you pray over there?" I said, "Yes." She said, "What time?" Okay, at 6 p.m. She knelt down right there. And she said, "When you will be praying at 6 p.m. over there, I will pray for your mother here on this rack." Without passion and burden, it cannot happen. She was filled with passion. And she has given a testimony. She was a witness of Lord Jesus Christ. And she told me how powerful the name of Jesus Christ is. Somebody told to this Naaman that how powerful God of Israel is. Somebody told you that how strong tower is the Lord our God. And we came to know him as our personal Lord and Savior. What happened? When Naaman heard this, he went to the king because he had resources to the king, Ben-Hadad. And he asked him, "Sir, I heard there is a man in Israel and he can cure, he can do something for me." So the king of Syria writes a letter under the name of King of Israel. But actually, he was going to be sent to a wrong person. To the king of Israel. No. What happened? When he goes over there, he takes a lot of gifts, silver and gold and a lot of other things with him to give to the king. He had a letter for the king. And he goes over there to the king of Israel. He reads the letter and he tears his clothes. And he was full of grief. He was saying, "Who I am? To heal and to kill and to make alive? No, I am not like that." He was a very honest person. He said, No. "I can't do anything for you who you are. It is not like that, that I am able to heal you." And then finally, he was depressed. He was just going back to Syria. I think he has taken few steps. And then Elisha came to know that he's going back. Something happened. And Elisha sent his servants and called him back. They sent him here. My God is powerful. Elisha was not saying that I will do that. No. Elisha knew that I am just an instrument in his hands. He is the one who has the remote of my life. So he is the one who will take my hold. So what I should do? Now, Elisha called him there. And finally, Naaman was ready to go, but not with 100% pure heart. He was ready to go where Elisha was. He was thinking that I am a great man and the king was unable to do something for me. What a poor man Elisha will do for me. I have told to that teacher, I'm talking about myself, that I have gone everywhere, even to my own religious people, even different shrines, but nothing happened to my mom. She's not getting healing. So what if I pray like that, as you are saying? She said, "You do that, and then you will see." I went at home. I just opened Bible like this. And there it was written that people brought their the garments of their sick people, touched with the body of apostle, went back and laid on their sick people, and their sick people received healing. This reference is, by the way, still there. Not only it was that time, but still over there. After reading this reference, time was there. And I went to my mom. I said, may I pray for you, mom? And she said, yes, you can pray for me. She was in pain. She heard the bad news. She was going to die soon. But in the word of God, it is written, the things are impossible for man are possible for God. I knelt down and I started praying as I was praying as a Muslim. And then I inserted that phrase, oh Allah, in the name of Isa al-Masih, in the name of Kalimatullah, the son of Mary, come and touch my mother right now and heal her right now. And when I was praying, the words were coming out from my belly, and my tongue. And I was praying and praying and praying. And my heart was saying, don't say Ameen. Pray continually, unceasingly. And I was praying regularly. The tears were flowing from my cheeks down. And you who know the secret of prayer, you know that when we sow with the tears, then what happens? God honors our tears, but the condition is this: if these tears are for His glory. Yes, not for my own self-ambition or desire. Finally, when I said Ameen, it has taken 5 to 7 minutes only. My mother stood up from the bed, went into the kitchen, started to work with the wives of my brothers and with my sisters, and great miracle happened in the life of my mother because of the name of Jesus Christ. He is same today and He is same forever as He was yesterday. He is unchangeable God. He performs miracle. Now, one thing was this, that the lifestyle of Christians was a cause of attraction. And number two, miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in my life. When Naaman went to Elisha, Naaman was expecting, might be there will be a red carpet and I will go like this and he will come before me, this man, and he will bow before me and he will say, salam, 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 pranam. And then I will say, heal me. But his motive and his thinking was absolutely wrong. He was full of pride. And now he goes over there. He stands outside of a bush-made house of Elisha and asks to his servant, go and call that person out to Elisha. And Elisha sends a person and says, well, I don't need to come out, but let him know to go on the Jordan River and he must take a 7 dips into the water of Jordan River. Naaman knew that what type of Jordan water is. He knew that it is not clean water. It comes from the Sea of Galilee, where the fishermen do the fishing. It's not the clean and pure water. And he came to know that in Damascus, in my country, there are Farafar and Abana, very clean water. Why don't I go over there and take 7 dips in the water and I'll be healed? But actually, Mr. Naaman, the thing is not that you must go and dip in the clean water or in the dirty water. You have to submit yourself to the servant of God, what he says to you. Sometime before our healing, before we receive healing, there are some obstacles made by our own selves. We have to remove those barriers. And after that, we can expect those miracles and healings. The pride is the main one. And then the man of God is saying to him, go and dip, take 7 dips into the water. He goes there finally, because his servant asked him, sir, you must go and let's see what will happen. And finally, when he goes there, maybe he has taken 1 dip into the water, comes out and checks, and he says, nothing happened. Maybe 2nd and the 3rd and the 4th and the 6th, nothing happened. Maybe he felt that if 6 dips I have taken and nothing happened, then what if I will take the 7th one? Nothing will happen. The spirit of doubt was in his heart. And sometime, not only non-believers, but forgive me, even believers also sometimes go through the spirit of doubts, a tunnel of doubts, or the valley of doubts. Our enemy throws the arrows of doubts to crash our spiritual life, to wreck us down. And what happened? When finally Naaman takes the 7 dip into the Jordan River, when he comes out, his body was like a child, newborn baby. He received healing. He was healed permanently. And then what happened? He was very happy, but he thought, I should give all the gold and the silver and the gifts I brought to this man named Elisha. Sometimes we think that maybe healing is when we give something, then we will receive healing. In the biggest city of Pakistan, there was a great missionary. He preached the gospel and I was the one who was interpreting for him. 24 hours journey a mom and girl has taken, and they came in that crusade. Her daughter was blind. And then when the man of God laid his hand and prayed for this girl, she received eyesight instantly right there. And then the mom has taken a little bag of some money and she presented to the man of God. And then he showed that bag of the money to all the people. There were 100,000 people. And then he said to this lady, mom, you take this money. We don't sell healing. Our healer is not asking for the money. We have received free, so we are giving free. So you are healed, your daughter is healed, not because of me, but because of the Lord, our God. So you must take this bag and go back. And she became a witness, and we can see that clip also on my YouTube channel and Facebook as well. However, what I am saying is this. When my mother was healed, Naaman was healed, he went back, and he was rejoicing and he said, now I know there is no God in the whole world except God of Israel. So when I came to know that my mom is healed because of the name of Jesus Christ, I started to study. My parents kicked me out. He has given an ad against me in newspaper. I was sent out for 1 year. I was in trial and temptation. Finally, a man of God met me and he said, by the way, what is your background? You are Christian, Muslim, Hindu. Who you are? I said, I'm from Muslim background. And he said, by the way, where you will go if you die today? By the way, I am praying for you to have a long life, but who knows what can happen after a while. If somebody asks you where you will go if you die today, what will be your answer? Think in your heart. And he asked me where you will go. This is the last thing I want to tell you. And I said, well, I don't know where I will go. Nobody knows. He said, okay, you must go and talk with your religious leaders. And then come back. For 10 days, I went to my religious leaders. And I was asking the answer of this question, where I will go if I die today? Answer was, there was no answer. Even founder of my religion didn't know that where he will go. So what happened? When I came back, we were studying from the Gospel of John, and we were in chapter 14. And most of you know that in chapter 14 and verse 6, what it is written. I'm not going to take your test, but Jesus Christ is saying over there, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father without me. And that man of God said, Jesus Christ is only way, not the ways. He is only way that leads to heaven. He is only door, not doors. He is only door and only way that leads to heaven. It's up to you if you want to receive him right now. Confess before the Lord, not before me, that I am a sinner, God. I am a sinner. And then repent from your sins before the Lord. And then receive Jesus Christ as a substitute of your sins and atonement. And number four, open your heart and call him Jesus. Come and live into my heart. Make me a new person. That was 8 October 1984 when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And now if somebody asks me where you will go if you die today, I usually say, I will never die. Because those who die in Christ Jesus, actually they sleep as the word of God says. I will sleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope for those who are sleeping, but not for those who are dead. I believe that my sins has been forgiven. And I have eternal life because I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. My dear brothers and sisters, wherever you are, if there is any corner where the depression is laying, hopelessness is laying, where there you feel down, Jesus is same yesterday, today, and forever. He can perform miracle in your life right now. Let's look unto him. He is the one who performs miracle. He has the power to overcome all of our temptations. And he is the one who can hold our hand, and he is the one who can give us eternal life. If you have not received your personal Lord and Savior to the Lord Jesus Christ, this can be the last hour in your life to receive Jesus Christ. Maybe this can be the last message for me that I am sharing in all the world. And it can be the last message for you when you are listening. If you have not received Jesus Christ, this is the time for you to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. May the Lord our God bless all of us by his word May he make us a channel of blessing for the people who are around us. May he make us bold to be witness in this dark world, dying world. May we shine like stars in the darkness. And may the Lord bless you and use you in a mighty way in near and far future. Thank you so much for listening to the Word of God. God bless you.